Hello, this is Sheila Lammers with the Vermilion County News, dated Wednesday, February 15th, 2017. We'll begin today's reading with an article from the News Gazette called Vermilion County Board Neutral on Hog Facility Plans. A local livestock farmer who will run one of the two hog facilities proposed in the Fithian area asked Vermilion County board members Tuesday night to give him a chance to prove wrong local citizens worried about their wells, waterways, environment, air, and property values. "This has turned into a lot bigger deal than I ever thought it would be," said Gabe Shepherd, who was one of 22 people who spoke either for or against the proposed hog operations during the public comment portion of the board meeting Tuesday night. Seven people spoke in favor of the park's livestock hog facilities, while 15 spoke against, most of whom are residents who live north of Fithian near the proposed sites. Shepherd, along with Vermilion County-based Parks Livestock, has applied to the Illinois Department of Agriculture to build the two hog facilities. His cattle operation was the source of a manure spill in September 2015 that killed nearly 100,000 fish in Stony Creek and the Salt Fork River. Manure spills are among the concerns Fithian area residents expressed about the proposed hog facilities at Tuesday's meeting. It was Shepherd who reported the 2015 accident to the Illinois Department of Agriculture when he realized a valve on a liquid manure storage tank had been left open. That caused waste to backflow into a containment pit, which overflowed and drained through a grass waterway into Stony Creek. Shepherd said during Tuesday night's meeting, "That incident was a horrible accident. We did everything we could to make that better," he said, explaining that the proposed hog facilities will not be close to waterways and will be about 3/4 of a mile from Stony Creek. "I apologize to the community for that, and all I can do is move forward." By March 30th, the State Department of Agriculture will decide whether Parks Livestock will be awarded the state permits, but the Vermilion County Board has, by state law, the ability to pass a resolution either for or against the plan, although it would not be binding on the state agency in making its decision. Each proposed site, one along Illinois 49, about 3 miles northwest of Fithian, and the other half a mile north of Fithian, would house up to 8,400 weaned hogs apiece and use 14,000 gallons of water daily. Both sites would include two 34,000 square foot buildings housing the weaned hogs, and below each building would be an 8-foot deep concrete well holding animal waste for up to 12 to 18 months until the manure would be spread on 2,000 acres of surrounding farm ground. The 27-member county board opted Tuesday night, to the objection of at least one board member against the proposal, to stay neutral on the issue, approving a report that says the county has found no evidence why the two hog facilities would not meet the Department of Agriculture's 8 criteria in determining whether to grant permits. The report will include the public comments made for and against the plans at Tuesday's meeting, as well as the emails, letters, and in-person comments the county board has received on the issue. But at least one, and possibly another, local governmental body has passed a resolution picking a side. On Saturday, the Fithian Village Board approved a resolution against the proposed hog facilities. Lisa Powell, a Fithian trustee, read the resolution at Tuesday night's meeting. It states that the village is concerned about odors as well as the water usage of the facilities and possible contamination of the village's water supply from the manure. And Blake Wells, a member of the Muncie Village Board, said he will also propose to his board that they consider a resolution against the proposed facilities. Wells said he lives close to Stony Creek, and he mentioned the previous manure spill in 2015. "It scares me considering Stony Creek runs near one of the proposed sites," he said. Our next article is also from the News Gazette and is called "Woman Hit by Vehicle Hospitalized." A 48-year-old Danville woman remains hospitalized after an accident involving a pedestrian and a semi-trailer Tuesday morning on Interstate 74 west of Danville. According to an Illinois State Police report, the accident occurred at 10:15 a.m. in the westbound lanes of the interstate at mile marker 210 near the Martin Luther King exit west of Danville. The female pedestrian was taken by ambulance to a local hospital for serious injuries. The 55-year-old Abingdon man who was driving the semi wasn't injured. The crash shut down traffic, but all lanes were open by mid-afternoon. State police, crash reconstruction experts, crime scene services, commercial motor vehicle officers, and other agents continue to investigate the crash. Our next article here is called Mugging Admission Nets Woman Conditional Discharge. An Urbana woman who admitted taking part in mugging a woman in Champaign last year has been sentenced to a form of probation. I'm sorry, this article was marked but then scratched out, so we'll skip the rest of that one and move on to an article called Salt Fork Junior High School, a project with heart and soul. Unlike some of his female classmates, Salt Fork Junior High 7th grader Carter Ridge never gave much thought to shoes, his or anyone else's. That changed late last month when two teachers launched a project to help provide closed-toe shoes to children in Uganda, and by doing so, help them lead healthier lives. "This will be a shoe when it's finished," Carter said, holding up a plastic baggie containing several pieces of denim that he and his classmates cut from a pair of jeans during a cutting party on Tuesday. "These shoes will be given to children who can't afford them," added classmate Kylie Pate, who called the Mary Jane-style shoes cute but practical. "The most important thing is they'll protect their feet and keep them from getting horrible jiggers, parasites that burrow into feet and lay eggs. The eggs can multiply and destroy the soft tissues, and the resulting wounds are prone to infection and disease. Kids shouldn't have to worry about that." For the project, the school teamed up with Soul Hope, a North Carolina-based nonprofit that works with Ugandan men and women to make the shoes, which provides them with an income and put them on the feet of needy children. "I thought, what a great way to teach kids empathy and highlight for them that there's always some way they can help," said Sheila Garrett, the school social worker who researched the organization and proposed the project for February, which school officials designated as Kindness Matters Month. "We have a fair amount of poverty in our school," Garrett continued, "but it's nothing compared to these kids who are getting parasites in their feet and getting huge sores. Sometimes our kids complain if they can't get a pair of $100 shoes," social studies teacher Rosemary Puzzi added. "This kind of puts everything into perspective for them and shows them things that are happening outside of their own little bubble. It also shows them that they can help." The project began in late January when Salt Fork's 6th, 7th, and 8th graders started collecting plastic milk jugs and old pairs of jeans. "We got so many pairs of jeans we stopped counting," said Pusey, who is overseeing the project with colleague Sarah Walkner. On Monday, students watched a short video explaining how to make shoe patterns from the plastic jugs and shoe pieces using the fabric. Later, they started tracing and cutting. "You want to get the pieces as close together as possible so you don't waste any of the material," said 7th grader Emily Watson, who was tracing a vamp, or toe pattern, on a pair of jeans that had been ripped open at the seam and laid out flat on several desks. Classmate Ashton Stout said one pair takes 4 heel pieces, 4 vamp pieces, 2 denim heel patches, and 2 plastic heel patterns. After they're cut out, they must be safety pinned together and put in a bag. "The work will continue throughout the week," Pusey said. She said once they're done, the bags will be shipped to Soul Hope's North Carolina location and eventually on to Uganda. Pusey said the school is also hoping to raise $10 for each shoe pattern kids make. The money will be used to buy the other materials, rubber for the sole, insoles, an elastic band, and glue needed to put the shoe together. next article is called Proposal Would Rename Courthouse After Garmin. Vermilion County board members will consider a resolution next week to rename the courthouse after Illinois Supreme Court Justice Rita B. Garmin. County Board Chairman Mike Marone said Tuesday that the Property Committee will consider on February 21st a resolution that would change the name of the downtown Danville facility to the Rita B. Garmin Criminal Justice Center. The resolution would be considered by the full county board in March. Garmin has served on the state Supreme Court since February 1, 2001, including 3 years as Chief Justice. Her judicial career began at the age of 30 as an associate judge in Vermilion County in 1974. She was elected a circuit judge in 1986 and served as presiding circuit judge in Vermilion County from 1987 through 1998, when she was assigned to the Illinois Appellate Court, 4th District. She was appointed to the Supreme Court in 2001 to fill the vacancy created by the retirement of former Chief Justice Ben Miller. Marone also announced that a planning committee has been formed to organize a late spring event dedicating the building in Garmin's honor. The committee also will determine stringent criteria for the future naming of county buildings. Marone will co-chair that committee with Amy Brown, Chief Executive Officer with Chris Healthy Aging Center. Other committee members, State Representative Chad Hayes, State Senator Scott Bennett, Vermilion County Sheriff Pat Hartshorn, Danville Mayor Scott Eisenhower, area businesswoman Sherry Weller, and former County Board Chairman Todd Lee and Jerry Block. In the Around the Area section of the News Gazette, the Salt Fork Music Boosters were given $500. Commissioners approved a $500 donation to help the Salt Fork Music Boosters send the high school marching band to this year's Liberty Bowl in Memphis. We'll move on now to the high school confidential reports. From Danville High School, student Roy Staple submitted this. Kavon Dixon and Lyric Cunningham, the school's Black student union leaders, have recruited students to help decorate halls in preparation for an upcoming Black History Month assembly. Also on tap, senior night for our Pompettes on Friday, and the show choir's performance at a competition in Kansas City, Missouri on Saturday. From Georgetown Ridge Farm High School, student Mary Key wrote, February's Leader of the Herd Awards went to senior Chase Murray, junior Hunter Howard, sophomore Lacey Steinbaugh, and freshman Garrett Ellis, pictured here with Principal Kevin Thomas. From Oakwood High School, student Brooke Mercer wrote, on Friday, Spanish 3 students read to a kindergarten class. Also, Keegan Gritton and Noah Rutch won their section's Area FFA Proficiency Award. From Westville High School, student Bailey Langster wrote this, on Sunday, the Singing Tigers held their annual Sweetheart Concert, which included performances by individuals while the audience was served drinks and Death by Chocolate dessert. The Singing Tigers belted out, Come to Me, O My Love, composed by Alan Robert Petker, and The Irish Blessing, arranged by Joyce Ayler. From Salt Fork High School, student Dawson Labaugh wrote, the chorus held a Disney Magic Dessert Night on Saturday, with members performing Disney songs as well as serving treats to the audience. Also, through March 6th, the class with the least amount of students with D's or F's will earn 100 Class Cup points. Students without D's or F's will be placed in a raffle to win anything from a VIP parking pass to lunch at Monocle's with Principal Darren Chambliss. From Bismarck Henning High School, student Gina Russell submitted this. On Friday, the chess team went 4-3 and placed 50th out of 150 at the IHSA Chess Tournament. The team won the Eastern Division of the Central Illinois Chess League en route to an 18-9 season finish. Now we'll turn to the commercial news for an article called Treats for Vets. Music, cards, games mark special week. The men tapped their feet in time and some even sang along as members of the Sweet Adelines entertained with classic tunes. I like that kind of music, veteran Justice Crum said. Me too, veteran Michael David Seethenhall chimed in. The short musical performance was one of many activities going on this week at the Veterans Affairs Ileana Healthcare System as part of the 71st National Salute to Veteran Patients. Six members of the Sweet Adelines visited dining areas on Tuesday, singing favorites such as Ain't He Sweet and Let Me Call You Sweetheart. This has been a treat for me, singer Glenda Carpenter said after the group performed at the two greenhouse project homes where vets live in a home-like atmosphere. She said the Sweet Adelines have been going to the VA for several years, usually to entertain a particular staff member or veteran. This time, however, the group shared its talent with numerous veterans. Also Tuesday, staff members helped to distribute thousands of Valentine's cards made by students and others from across the state, and even some from out of state. It's amazing, they're from all over, said Kim Dalby, chief of recreation therapy slash voluntary service, as she surveyed the boxes of cards. By noon Tuesday, more than 7,000 cards had been counted, and there were still boxes left. The United Methodist Church in Bethany, for example, sent 821 cards, and the Williamsfield Public Library sent in 725. Many other cities sent in cards, including East Peoria, Glendale Heights, Canton, and Pontiac. The cards will be distributed in Danville this week, as well as the VA's community-based outpatient clinics in Decatur, Mattoon, Peoria, and Springfield, and West Lafayette, Indiana. A special week kicked off Sunday with bingo. On Monday, Illinois Representative Chad Hayes and Tom Grassman of Champaign entertained veterans with a variety of numbers, including Darius Rucker's Wagon Wheel and Bob Seger songs. Hayes told the veterans he was thrilled to be at the VA to do our small part. This is the least we can do to say thank you for everything you've done, he told veterans. On Tuesday, special lunches were delivered to inpatients, and men and women's basketball teams from Danville Area Community College played Family Feud in the SAR. Today, Danville Mayor Scott Eisenhower will be host for Celebrity Bingo at 2 p.m., sponsored by AmVets Post 3. On Thursday, Mel Hoakes will play music at 2 p.m. in the SAR, followed by refreshments. Friday is open to other groups that wish to honor the veterans as part of the special week. And it's time now to read the area obituaries, and we'll begin with those listed in the News Gazette. First, we have Martha D. Buchanan, 67, of Georgetown, who died at 8:10 p.m. Monday, February 13th, at home. Memorial services will be at 10 a.m. February 25th at Olivet Nazarene Church at 5054 Olivet Road, Georgetown. Visitation will be from 6 to 8 p.m. February 24th at the church. Sunset Houghton Leisure Funeral Home at 200 East West Street in Georgetown is in charge of arrangements. Pamela Howard, 74, of Potomac, formerly of Westville, passed away at 6:30 a.m. Tuesday, February 14th, at her son's home. Visitation will be from 4 to 6 p.m. Friday at the Potomac Community Building. A Celebration of Life Memorial Service will be at 6 p.m. Friday at the Potomac Community Building. Following the services, there will be a family gathering at the Community Building. Memorials may be made to the Potomac American Legion or to Carl Hospice. The family has entrusted the Blurton Funeral Home in Potomac to assist them in honoring Pamela's life. Lee Webster James, 83, passed away peacefully at Forest Creek Village Nursing Home in Indianapolis, Indiana, where he had resided since December 16, 2016. He died on Thursday, February 9th, of diabetes and dementia. A memorial service will be held at 2:30 p.m. Saturday, February 18th, at Hope United Church of Christ. The family will receive friends from 12:30 to 2:30 p.m. at the church. Burial will be in Embury Cemetery. Arrangements are being handled by Blurton Funeral Home in Potomac. In lieu of other expressions of sympathy, memorials can be made to Hope UCC, that's Hope United Church of Christ, at 23334 State Route 49, Armstrong, Illinois, 61812. Carol J. Lataz, 75, of Chrisman, passed away at 2:31 p.m. Monday, February 13th, at the Garden View Manor in Danville. Memorial services will be at 3 p.m. Thursday, February 16th, at Robeson Chapel in Catlin, with Pastor Paul Del Valle officiating. Visitation will be from 2 to 3 p.m. Thursday at Robeson Chapel, Catlin. Burial will be at a later date in Crown Hill Cemetery, Ridge Farm. Memorials may be made to Crown Hill Cemetery, Ridge Farm. And David Tables, 70, of Oakwood, died at 3:30 p.m. Monday, February 13th, at home. Funeral services will be at 10 a.m. Monday at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center at 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville, with Pastor Jeff Johns officiating. Burial will be in Sunset Memorial Park in Danville. Visitation will be from 2 to 6 p.m. Sunday at the funeral home. And now we'll turn to the commercial news for additional obituaries. George Henry Merman passed away February 11, 2017, at his home, surrounded by his loving daughters. Mr. Merman was born in Perrysville, Indiana, in 1918. Services will be at Pape Funeral Home, 10 East Williams Street in Danville, on Friday, February 17th, with visitation starting at 11:30 and ending at 1:30 p.m., with services, visitation runs from 11:30 to 1:30. Services begin at 1:30. The family is requesting, in lieu of flowers, that a donation can be made in his honor to Danville Mission or Danville's Humane Society. Russell, known as Russ Norman McDaniel, 63, of Westville, passed away at 6:10 a.m. on February 10th at his son's home in Danville. Visitation will be held from 4 to 6 p.m. on Friday, February 17th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center at 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Cremation rites will be accorded following visitation. Memorials may be made to Bowl for Kids' Sake Big Brothers Big Sisters of Vermilion County at 100 North Franklin Street in Danville, 61832. Melvin L. Freed, 83, of Danville, passed this life to join our Heavenly Father on February 13th at North Logan Healthcare. Visitation will be on Saturday, February 18th at Pape Family Funeral Home from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., with a prayer service following at 1 p.m., officiated by Father Loftus. Following services, Melvin will be entombed at Resurrection Catholic Mausoleum. Now we'll resume with local news from the commercial news. We have an article called City Seeking Proposals on Lot Mowing. With about 465 properties, the city continues to mow and maintain, and a more aggressive demolition program coming up this year to occupy staff time. The city is requesting proposals for lot mowing of non-city-owned properties. Danville Public Works Director Doug Ahrens told the City Council's Public Works Committee Tuesday night the city also will be requesting proposals to sell the former Public Works building on South Street and the former Schaumburg & Schaumburg office building near the Fairchild Overpass. Ahrens said the city has asked for prices for 2-week, 4-week, and 6-week lot mowing intervals from private mowing services. The city also will be requesting proposals for individual lot sales of lots the city owns. Ahrens said the city will be asking potential buyers about their intent and financial means for the lots and buildings. The lots are throughout neighborhoods and also could be used for redevelopment, Ahrens said. In addition, the city has had two parties express interest already in the former Public Works South Street site, with the city not yet publicly seeking proposals. Ahrens also said no one has expressed interest in the former Schaumburg building, but the city would use a real estate agent to list the property. Ahrens said it's in the city's best interest to sell both buildings. Ward 1 Alderman Ricky Williams Jr. said he's glad to see the request for proposals for the lots. He supports the city owning less property, and the less the city mows, the more lots back on the tax rolls. I think the people will appreciate that as well, Williams added about the regular mowing schedules. Ahrens also reported the $40 annual yard waste stickers are now on sale at City Hall and the city's Voorhees Street building, and the city has a request for proposals out for a solid waste automated truck replacement. He said they've talked to local 703 Public Works laborers and vendors about roll-off services. That is moving in a positive direction, Ahrens said. Aldermen last month voted against solid waste collection fee increases. Part of the proposal for major solid waste collections was the city contracting with a vendor for use of roll-off containers. This required discussion with the union about privatizing part of Public Works employees' jobs. Ahrens said more information will be brought back to aldermen next month.
Aarons also reported contracts for portions of the demolition work should come to aldermen next month on the demolitions of the former Lincoln School and next-door church building along West Williams Street. He said the city doesn't have the equipment to reach the top of the buildings, but the city still could help with some of the work. In addition, Aarons said the lack of snow this winter is helping the city budget. The salt barn is still full, and we hope it stays that way, he said.
Turning to VermilionCountyFirst.com, we have a short article, County Board Approves Three New Contracts. Some Vermilion County employees have new contract agreements. Members of the County Board last night approved new contracts covering the IBEW Judicial Unit, IBEW Non-Judicial Unit, and Laborers International Union, Local 703. The Laborers Local covers employees who work at the Vermilion County Juvenile Detention Center. All three of the agreements run through November 30, 2019. We also have one event announcement to share from this site. On February 18th, from 7 a.m. until 9:30 a.m., the VFW, located at 8 Pine Street in Danville, will be hosting an all-you-can-eat breakfast, offering eggs, scrambled over easy or your way, French toast, pancakes, sausage, potatoes, white gravy, biscuits, bacon, orange juice, and coffee. Carryouts are available. Price is $6. Our next piece here is called Police Continue Probe of Shots Fired Reports. Danville police say they are continuing their investigation into weekend incidents in which some shots were fired. Police Commander Josh Webb of the city's Criminal Investigation Division says there were no reports of anyone actually being shot. There were, however, at least three incidents in which shots were apparently fired into the air, including one directly behind the city's No. 4 fire station on East Main Street. Commander Webb says officers were actually on the scene investigating that report when they heard more shots being fired nearby Saturday night. Commander Webb says two men were taken into custody in that general area on weapons-related charges. Police were still investigating Monday, attempting to determine whether they were involved in the Saturday night incidents. The third shots fired incident occurred early Saturday in the area of the 1700 block of North Gilbert Street. We have another event announcement. This one is looking a little ways ahead to February 26th from 3 until 5 p.m. Her House Maternity Home at 317 North Franklin Street in Danville invites you to an open house and house shower. Her House Maternity Home is a nonprofit organization that serves as a refuge for displaced or homeless pregnant women 18 years or older. This has been Sheila Lammers with the Vermilion County News, dated Wednesday, February 15, 2017. I hope you stay warm today, enjoy the sunshine, and I look forward to reading with you again next week.